Hi, I'm Gary Check, lead pastor at Grace Community Christian Fellowship in Flint, Michigan. And you're watching Growing with Grace. This show is intended to be an opportunity to teach God's Word and to understand it in a way that helps us as believers and followers of Christ to live lives worthy of Christ as well. We hope that you enjoy this biblical teaching from Growing with Grace. We're talking about worship. And last week was about as a lifestyle. And this week I want to talk about it in relationship of attending worship services. And attending worship services come in two categories, good and bad. Under the bad categories, a reason to go to church are this. Attending is socially acceptable, not a good reason. God is angry if I don't, also not a good reason. Going to church places me in his favor, delusional. I'll feel better. That may be true, but that's not the reason to go to church. Such motivations really don't honor God, and some of them really are the devil's lies and manipulation in your lives. But here's some good reasons to go. God's Word commands it. I need Christian fellowship. Take a look at sometimes at Hebrews chapter 10, verse 25. Others need my encouragement. There are times that God places you in situations come alongside someone that's going through a difficult time that maybe you've already gone through, and you can listen to them and help them out. I love the fact that in our hospitality time that we have, that people don't just bolt at for the door at the end of the service, but they hang around, they have coffee, they talk, they share. That's why that's there. And I've seen a lot of encouraging take place. Another good reason to come, I can hear the Word, which is the only truth that there is. My opinion doesn't mean a whole lot, but God's Word is absolute truth, and it's important for us to understand it. And then also, I can meet God. God is everywhere, yes, omnipresent, but there's a special anointing. There's a special coming together when the body of Christ comes together to fellowship, to worship God, and to study His Word. An illustration of this might help to explain. That's a story I read one time about a Christmas Eve, and the phone of a pastor in Washington, D.C. On Christmas Eve. The phone rang in the afternoon. He answered it, and the person on the other side, this is the church where President Roosevelt attended during his presidency. And the person said, "Tell me, Reverend, are you holding Christmas Eve services tonight?" And when advised that there would be certainly a Christmas Eve service, the caller then asked, "And do you expect President Roosevelt to be there?" That explained the pastor patiently, "I cannot say. I'm not sure about the president's plans for the evening, but I can say that we fully expect God to be in our church tonight, and we feel secure in the knowledge that his attendance will attract a reasonably large congregation." Sometimes when there is a church with a famous pastor, like a Chuck Swindoll or a John MacArthur, when he's not teaching that Sunday, the attendance goes down. I don't understand that. Because it's not John MacArthur's church, it's not Chuck Swindoll's church, it's God's church. And God still speaks. God doesn't ask, "Well, Chuck Swindoll's not going to be there, I'm not going to be there next week either." No, God doesn't work that way. The power is behind God, not behind the man. The Jews were commanded when the covenant was renewed in Exodus 34:14, says, "You shall not worship any other god, small g, for the Lord, whose name is Jealous, is a jealous God." God wants our attention. I appreciate what James says, because we have that same disease. You know, our minds can wander. We can do things. Even when we're tasking on one, our thoughts can go to another. That is the amazing thing about the brain, by the way. You know, it sometimes it's difficult to focus in. But today we're going to look a second look at worship. And today the worship experience as it relates to the corporate body and ourselves as individuals. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you for the time again in this place and to gather together to study your word. And Lord, to understand more what you ask of us so that our time on this earth is productive, that we're growing in sanctification, growing more Christ-like, not to be religious, but to be in a relationship with you and with your Son. And so, Father, teach us in this time, we ask, and bring yourself glory in Christ's name. Amen. A Frenchman once commented that Americans have three idols. They are size, noise, and speed. Worship runs in the opposite direction. It does remind us of the greatness of God, but it also reminds us of how small that we are. Worship is being still and knowing God. And I talk sometimes about a camping trip we did at June Mountain some years ago with the two oldest boys. And we camped out in a tent, and it's in the Sierra Nevada in the California side. And we were so high up that I had never seen the stars so bright. In fact, it cast a shadow, and there was no moon. The stars, and that's bright. But the clarity up there, and you're just like in awe of that. And the vastness of the sky that God created, and just the beauty of it. And I was humbled in that way to appreciate the fact that we're able to see that. Worship is slowing down and focusing upon the Lord and taking time to listen. Listening is one of the most important skills that we can develop. And Pastor Roland and I have a really good time about talking about that. You know, and I say to him, you know, listening is really important. He'll go, huh? And then followed by the phrase, thank you for playing. Hearing allows us to come alongside someone and meet a need. We can't meet a need unless we hear the need. And a lot of times we are so busy thinking about our needs or thinking about what's going on with our lives that we don't hear them, but we jump into what's going on with us. And we need to step back a little bit, take a little time to listen and come alongside somebody else. Listening is critical when talking about church. As a place that we come to help us grow in Christ, we need to use our listening skills. Without the active participation of listening, we'll have a great difficulty growing in Christ. Any time that you think you have influence, the great unknown author says, try ordering around someone else's dog. A dog will listen to its owner most of the times. But, you know, listening to one that's not an owner is really difficult and challenging to do. And do you know that poor listening skills can have a devastating spiritual consequence as well? Take your Bibles and turn in the New Testament to the book of Matthew, the 13th chapter. Matthew chapter 13, starting verse 14. By the way, what I'm sharing with you this morning just doesn't apply to grace. It applies to anywhere you are in the United States and going to church. It's just, these are truths that are for the believer anywhere they might be. Chapter 13, starting verse 14. As I get to that. In their case, Jesus says, the prophecy of Isaiah is being fulfilled, which says, you will keep on hearing, but will not understand. You will keep on seeing, but will not perceive. For the heart of this people has become dull. With their ears they scarcely hear, and they have closed their eyes. Otherwise they would see with their eyes, hear with their ears, and understand with their heart and return, and I would heal them. But goes on to say, but blessed are your eyes because they see, and your ears because they hear. For truly I say to you that many prophets and righteous men desired to see what you see and did not see it, and to hear what you hear and did not hear it. And then Jesus goes on to give them the parable of the sower. They desire to see it, what? The Messiah. They desire to hear what? What the Messiah has to say. But they didn't. Their job as prophets of old were to keep the eyes focused forward and when the Messiah would come. Jesus told the people that it's important to listen carefully to God's word. He quoted the prophet Isaiah, who was God's spokesman to a disbelieving nation of Israel. The part of the book of Isaiah that Jesus quoted tells the story how God anointed Isaiah to be a prophet. And when Isaiah was called, the Lord warned Isaiah that the people would reject his message. I'm calling you as a prophet, but they're not going to listen to you. I want to warn you of that up front. But your job is not to win them over. Your job is to be faithful. They had not listened to God's spokesman before, and they would not listen to Isaiah either. In fact, they would become even more hardened against the Lord during Isaiah's time. The people in Jesus' day could not see, hear, or believe in him because they would not see, hear, and believe in God's word. They had the word, they had the prophecies, they had the history, but they didn't believe it. They were stuck in their own world. Because they were unwilling, God rendered them unable. God rendered in reality what was already in their hearts. It's not that God made them hard. They were already hard, and so God just hardened them. You know, you get what you ask for. You get what you seek. Listening to God's word is very important, and there are serious consequences for not listening. The Bible says our minds can become seared by doing things that the Bible says we shouldn't do, and we keep repeating them, then we become seared to it, become insensitive to the Holy Spirit's leading us away from those things. Fortunately, the Bible tells us how to listen to God's word. Listening to a sermon doesn't begin with the last song that is sung and the preacher or teacher taking his position in front. It begins before you get to church. The first step in effective listening is to arrive expectantly. You got to arrive with an expectation that something's different about today. Something's going to happen today. When you come to church, you should come to worship the Lord and to feed your soul. When you come, bring an appetite. Arrive hungry. Christians come to church either starving or stuffed. Either they devour everything or they kind of pick at it a little bit because they've already been filled with something else. Something's already occupied their appetite. Sometimes they think they've heard it all before, and well, I won't go next week because I've already heard that verse before. Well, as a person who has been in the pulpit for 12 years now, and there's still things I'm learning. I can read the same verse. You know, right now I'm reading 1 Peter, and I'm reading 1 Peter about 3 times a week. I'm doing that because as we begin to teach in 1 Peter in September, I want to be just saturated with what he wrote to the churches. And every time that I read it, I read something just a little bit different, a little bit deeper. Not schizophrenia. It's just that God is teaching you deeper as you go into and go back over. We're never called to, oh, well, I've read that passage. John 3:16, you can read it over and over again, and it can mean deeper and deeper stuff to you. For God so loved. I mean, there's so much depth in Scripture that we're shallow if we think that if we read it once that we're covered. To take the idea and the thought of that we've heard it all before, it's a shame. It's dangerous. To some, even the finest sermon is just another bologna sandwich. Whoever is teaching, their job is to prepare you a good meal, to work hard at it. Your job is to be hungry when you arrive. When we go on vacation, there's a couple churches that we have visited, and there's one that we particularly go to up north in our time. And when I go there, I don't go there to criticize or be critical of the one giving the message. I go there to learn, because God is going to give me some nugget, something that I write down in my margin of notes. And I want to hear it. I want to know this, but I've got to work it. I'm hungry to hear God's word, especially from somebody else. You know, there's something unique, and what's God telling them that I can draw from? Do you come to church with a sense of anticipation? Do you arrive expectantly, waiting to see what God may have in store just for you? I can't tell you the number of times that people have said, you know, God spoke something through you today. I said, well, praise God for that, because I didn't think I said anything, you know. And I pray every time before I walk up, God, not my words, but your words, not my heart, but your heart, not my truth, but your truth. Take me out of it. Fill the time with you so that you can do what you need to do. If you're not hungry when you get here, then maybe you've been eating what you shouldn't be eating. And just spending your wills and spending time. Listening to a sermon requires that you arrive expectantly. This means that you arrive hungry. Also, arrive prepared. Never thought of it that way. I bet coming to church, arrive prepared. You need to come do some advance work to prepare your heart to receive God's word before you get here. And I'm going to suggest a few things that would help out that you can do to arrive prepared. First is this: pray for the pastor. Not that, oh Lord, please don't let him bore me again. But the first thing, I'm just kidding, okay, I'm not that fragile. But the first thing to do is pray for whoever is in the pulpit. Like I said, it doesn't matter who fills this position, whether it's myself, Pastor Roland, a guest speaker, it doesn't matter. John Obermeyer, that was a powerful message that he brought. I said, John, why don't you do about 15 minutes? He did the whole thing, and that was great. No, that was good. I thought that was great because God said, you're done. You know, and I heard that very clearly, because there's nothing I could add to that which would make that more of a special message. If you want a DVD of that, let us know, because that was a powerful message, just of sharing what God's doing. I had not expected that. I expected something, but I was blessed way beyond what I was expecting. Pray. Pray that I will accept all the prayer. I will accept all the prayer that's offered, boy, because I need prayer, which is great. And I'm glad to say that, because it's sometimes difficult to prepare a message. It's sometimes hard work for me, and sometimes with my ADD, it's even harder. Pray for understanding. What does the text actually mean? I don't want to teach my opinion. I want to teach what God's Word says, because we say that God's Word is sole authority, not mine. Let me interpret it correctly. Insight. How does this truth in the text apply to us? The Bible is not written to be an ancient document written thousands of years ago. It's written to be applied to our lives today. When Jesus says, love your enemies, that's today. Well, that was 2,000 years ago. No, I'm sorry. You got enemies today. Love your neighbor as yourself. You know, love your wife. Husbands, love your wives. Wives, respect your husbands. That's today. We need to apply it to today, because that's what makes the Bible alive. It's a live document that we read and implement into our lives. Stamina, thinking, studying, writing. Wear the body and the mind. Sometimes I get home on Sunday afternoons, I got to take a nap. You know, sometimes I just get worn out, and I got to come back in the evening time and pray that God just fills it again. Stamina is important when given a message. Creativity. It's easy to fall back on techniques for sermon preparation and delivery. The last thing I want to do is to bore people. I need lots of prayer in keeping the Word fresh, interesting, relevant, authentic, and useful. I don't want to ever manipulate. That is not what I'm placed here to do. I'm placed here to teach. I call myself a teacher. I'm not a preacher. Preachers scare me. They get really loud. We were at a church visiting one time in Bay City, and I had a Sunday off in Midland, and we were some friends in Bay City, and the pastor had said something I'm writing down, and then he does one of those slamming of the books or slamming the hands, and I jumped, because we're in the second row, you know, and it really startled me, and everyone around me got a really good chuckle out of that. But, you know, so I'm a teacher. I don't really get really loud. But I hope what I say is important. And I want to be creative when I do it. God has to use me with my sense of humor, because it's really warped, and I know that. You know, and there's no way to straighten that out. Let's face it, it's going to take an act of God to do that. But to be creative with it, that's the fun part about giving messages. I don't do it to entertain. I really don't. I do it to communicate. But humor is a good tool to communicate and teach as well. And then there's discipline. Sometimes I want to do anything other than sit down, open my Bible, and begin to prepare for a message. And a lot of things, my wife will tell you, I just get really distracted. I will head to one place in the house and do something, and I will end up doing something totally different because I forgot. I need discipline to do that. Only those who have struggled with writer's block can understand this need of discipline and working through. Pray that I'll have the discipline to work methodically, carefully, and skillfully on the message that God's going to give on Sunday. Because they're important. They're important for me as well as for you. Another way to arrive prepared is to get a good night's sleep. Oftentimes, I'm up on Saturday nights till like 1 o'clock in the morning just kind of reviewing stuff and doing things. But I know if there are nights that I have not had a good sleep, I don't want to listen to anything. You know. And if we've been up playing and partying until, you know, 1, 2 in the morning, there's a really good chance, well, I'll just go to the evening service. Get a good night's sleep. That's a great way. You know, preferably not sleeping during the message is wonderful for me. You know, and I forgive you even when you do. I've seen a few heads nod once in a while. I go, hey, God bless you. May the rest be good. You know. By the way, if you ever do that in church and you do fall asleep and your head just jerks up, always follow up by saying amen, because people think that you're praying. All right, arrive hungry, arrive prepared, and arrive with an open mind. That is so important, to arrive in an open mind in service. Our children, grandchildren think we're morons, but adults accumulate a reservoir of experience. I am so glad that ministry came in my life much later than early in my years, because I didn't know anything. And now God can take all those not knowing instances and use them to teach others not to follow those things along the road. We come to trust our own judgment and experience more and more because God has already taken us through experiences. When we say we walk by faith, not by sight, it's because we've experienced walking by faith and not by sight. And we know that God does amazing things, and when God gives an answer, no, we may not understand it, but down the road we may see something, you know, wow, that's why that was maybe no, for the possibility of this. We always live in the possibility of God. Yes, we have dreams. Yes, we have goals, but we trust God that whatever his answer is, we don't become so set upon that if his answer is no, that we're devastated by it. I'd rather have God's answer than my plans. We test what we hear against our own sampling of reality through God's word. God says, be holy because I am holy. It doesn't say just be holy on Sunday, but Monday and Tuesday and Wednesday and Thursday and Friday as well. Not holier than thou, but set yourself apart. Be different than what the world is around you. When we hear the pastor say we can trust God to provide, we might automatically think of times that we felt he didn't provide. When we hear the pastor say, God will answer your prayers, our minds may return to a time when God said no, or God said wait. When we hear the pastor say that we must be willing to suffer reproach, be considered fools for Christ, and witness boldly, we might remember times when we were laughed at for our faith in Christ and ridiculed for our belief in Christ. The older we get, the harder it is for us to keep an open mind. The people that Isaiah spoke to and the people that Jesus spoke to didn't keep an open mind. They judged God's word by their experience rather than letting God's word illuminate their experience. For me, that'd be one of those aha moments. I'm going to say that again. They judged God's word by their experience rather than letting God's word illuminate their experience. That's key. Seeing your life in relationship to God's word. They would not hear because they're too busy remembering. If we get wrapped up in the remembering part and not keeping open what God has, we stifle God's working. Because then we limit God and the great things he can do, or don't see his limiting as a protection of us in some ways. All right, so you've arrived, bathrobe, slippers and all, and now that you're here, second point, listen attentively. We tend to shut out God's word in our lives. Unless we've disciplined ourselves, our human nature tends not to want to hear God's word. Why? Because sometimes it's tough. Sometimes it involves sacrifice. Sometimes it involves us in doing things that are not really comfortable. We have to discipline ourselves to hear God's word, to hear his lean, that still small voice. That was the case in Isaiah's day, and that's the case in today as well. How often have you, for those that were here, watched that movie, The Encounter, about the five people that met Jesus in the diner, you know, and you hear that small voice pick that person up. One didn't do it. One did do it. And yet, you know, he brought that to remembrance. He brought that when he's confronting these people and talking to them. It was really interesting. Sometimes we hear small voices that we shouldn't, you know, answer, like run that person off the road. I wouldn't listen to that small voice. Compare it to God's word, you know, and God does not say to do that. But there are times, little subtle things that we can do that we need to listen to. Talk to that person. I've had a lot of really interesting conversations, like waiting for prescriptions, and just felt I should say something to this person. It's kind of cool, you know. It's kind of an exciting thing to let God lead that and listen to that. In a message, I want to listen attentively because I don't want to miss anything. I know that on WGN, Peter Brooks, they were talking about twittering. This is about 2 years ago. And they say, is it good to Twitter in church? And I've known Peter for about 12, 14 years. And I called and said, you know, I don't think twittering is good in church because you could be twittering and then you miss something. I think it's a distraction. I would wait till the end, write a note down or whatever, but at least you're not, because when I'm doing that, I can't do this. Thumbs take over ears all the time, you know. So I'd rather let the thumbs rest or just write it down quickly, then I can remember it later on. We need to be attentive in that. See, the Word of God is words, not pictures and diagrams. And sometimes we put things up there to kind of help you along, but, you know, it's just not the same as a storybook. You need to work hard at listening. When listening to a sermon, you need to listen purposefully. God has something in there that I got to dig out. And those things are special. Like the line I just said before, if I was in a message, I would be writing that, you know, that God illuminates my experiences based upon his word. And seeing that, walk by faith, not by sight. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not lean upon your own understanding. The truths that are there, say, okay, this is one of those times to trust God because I don't understand it, but God knows and I trust him for that. And it elevates it to a whole other thing that I don't have to worry about. I can trust God and move forward. When you listen to God's word, your purpose should be to learn. If you come here just to kill time, then you're really wasting your time. You should be coming to learn, because none of us, including self, and I know that my brother Roland would say the same thing, we don't know it all. We're constantly learning. We are learning as long as we are on this earth, until the time that we die and sanctification ends and glorification takes place. We're learners. That should be our mindset. That should be our focus, especially here. Listen purposefully so the words register on your conscious thought and engage your active mind. God never says leave your mind at the door. He wants you to draw it in. He wants you to sharpen your mind. Process what you hear until you understand it. And if you don't understand it, please ask questions. There is nothing I should say, or Pastor Roland or anyone say from here, that cannot be explained outside of this pulpit. Well, I'm sorry. I said it once. I hope you wrote it down, and that's all I can do. Yeah, I'd stick in that church for a long, long time. You know, don't do that. If you don't, or if I said something that doesn't make sense, or especially if it's heretical, check me on that. I don't claim perfection. If you don't understand, ask questions, because I should be able to explain it to you. Because the Bible is written for us to understand. It's never written for us to confuse us. Even Revelation is written to be understood. You are responsible for carrying out part of the burden of clear communication, however. Sometimes, even though I try hard, I drop my end about not being clear. Sometimes sometimes my wife will give me a little hand. I'm talking too fast. Too many cups of coffee. Guys, slow down. Slow down. That's hard for me. I'm not a slow person. But I've done better over the years. And sometimes I will drop communication. But you have to be actively listening too. Sometimes you drop your listening and then you're lost for a bit. This is illustrated by three elderly church people and one who is a little bit hard of hearing and forgetful. Goes like this. Windy, ain't it? No, I think it's Thursday. Me too. Let's get something to drink. That's sometimes how it is communicating in church. It just goes whoop, and you're on a whole different plane. To listen and understand, you must listen actively. You got to be active in your listening. Listening is not a passive action. It is an active part that we can do. It is possible for you to focus your attention for a 30-minute message, but it's hard work, and I will admit that. It requires effort because modern media has made it so easy for our minds to be lazy. Our kids, it is a challenge for our kids. Especially our younger ones, like Josh at 12, he has got to be totally occupied all the time. And it's hard for him to understand that sticks were our toys at one time. You know, that throwing dirt wads and stuff at another dirt pile was tremendously entertaining for hours upon end. Especially if there's other kids on the other side, then they're trying to get you as well. Could be dangerous as well. But we didn't have computers. We didn't have, when we go somewhere, the first thing, Dad, can I have your phone? Because he wants to call somebody? No. Because he's got all these little games on there, and stuff. And we have to retrain our children not to be so occupied, because media has made it so instant. MTV was the first one to do that. It's just like that. It's a CSI. When they switch, it's not a slow pan. It's quick things all the time. God's word is need to be pondered upon, and we have to be active in our listening and not get quick with it. I love a pastor who concluded his sermon this way. He says, "That you are sitting before me in this church is a fact. That I am standing speaking from this pulpit is a fact. But it is only faith that makes me believe anyone is listening." That's pretty good. Pretty good. About those who did not listen actively and purposefully, Jesus said, "For the heart of this people has become dull, and their ears they scarcely hear, and they have closed their eyes." They're already on the next thing they're doing before the time even gets done in a message. You must be active listeners. When you listen to a message, it's helpful to follow the outline. Most Sundays you'll find a simple outline in the back part of the bulletin. We call that a worship tool. It attempts to reflect the means of the text being preached. Now, use it. Follow it. It will help you be more attentive and active listener. In fact, when I go to churches and I do mine, I want them scored because I think I did a great job. I filled in all those blanks. heard every little thing. And sometimes if they forget it, it's hard to do that. It will increase the likelihood that you will actually hear what God wants to tell you through the text. I have in my office, it's a spiral notebook about yay big, about that thick. It is full of Pastor Greg's messages in Reno, where I served as the director of worship for several years. And they did two morning services, and I would do the message in the first one, and then I would do the other ones I missed, you know, in just pages and pages of his messages that I've never tapped on, but they're great messages. But I couldn't, the little bulletin was not big enough for me. I needed more space. And I didn't rely upon that. I put down things that God impressed upon me during the message. Do that. I would not be offended in that whatsoever. You know, I do kind of question someone's are all filled out and left nicely on the seat for someone else to pick up later on. That's cheating for the second service. Let them write it down. Finally, have a pencil ready. If you, there's something magical about having a pencil. There's something, actually, a learning tool that when you write something down, you remember it a little bit better. If you actually, and we do it sometimes with the first letter and the blank or the whole thing blank, but there's something about doing it writing down that connects you with that a little bit more. The mere fact of holding that in preparation for writing sharpens the mind and it clarifies the thought and prepares the heart. When you hear something that you need to remember, the mere act of writing it down will help reinforce that truth for you as well. That's a learning fact, I believe, I hope. Sounds really good, you know. I'll discover that later on. I'm on Josh right now because Josh has got this phrase. Says, it's a well-known fact. I'm going, wait, at 12, you don't know well-known. So I got to be very careful I don't do the same thing as well. If you don't have a pencil, we always leave a little container of pens and pencils out there in the hallway. Feel free to grab one of those as well. If you want to put it back at the end, that's fine. If you take it, I don't have a problem with that either. Let me close with a couple of thoughts. God's word requires you to be a good listener. The first step in listening in a sermon is to arrive expectantly. The second step is to listen attentively, but there are two more steps I want to share in this conclusion. The first step is found in the book of James. We've studied the book of James verse by verse before, but James is the half-brother of Jesus, not the apostle James, but he's the half-brother of Jesus who wrote one of the books in the Bible. In chapter 1, in verse 22, he says this. He says, prove yourselves doers of the word and not merely hearers who delude themselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man who looks at his natural face in the mirror. For once he has looked at himself and gone away, he has immediately forgotten what kind of a person he was. Looking at a mirror and then walking away and forgetting what you saw. The first step is this. Comply diligently. There will always be something in a message for you to instruct, to encourage you. Do that. It's not meant to tax you or be a burden to you. It's meant to encourage you. It's meant to help you. Sometimes it's experiences I've had in my own life that bridges I had to cross rather than burn to correct. Comply with God's word diligently. Make an effort on that. Jesus in Luke chapter 6 verse 46 says, why do you call me Lord, Lord, and not do what I say? That's why the church gets a label of being hypocrites, because there's so many people going to church but not doing what it says. There are a lot of people who claim to be of God and doing things that God never said to do, like some of these protests at funerals and other such things. That's not what God called us to do. Comply. The mark of a Christian life is one of obedience powered by the Holy Spirit, because we need the Holy Spirit to encourage us along that path. Second is this, focusing on priority. Here's the 25th chapter of the first chapter, 25th verse of the first chapter of James. He says, But the one who looks intently at the perfect law, the law of liberty, and abides by it, not having become a forgetful hearer but an effectual doer, this man shall be blessed in what he does. The man or woman hears what he should be doing and then goes out and does it. Love your neighbor as yourself. Love your enemies. Do these things and you'll be blessed for it. You make a difference for the kingdom of God. Jesus was asked in Matthew chapter 22, he says, teacher, which is the greatest commandment in the law? And he said to him this, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul, with all your mind. This is the great and foremost commandment. And the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. Verses 36 through 39. This is where we get our mission statement. Grace, a place to love God, love people, serve in community. Understand the word serve in community means serving together. Not serving the community, that's a byproduct. But serving in community means drawing together to do the purposes of God that will make a difference, not only in our lives, but in the community around us. You see, worship is much more than just a song. It is the conduct of our lives, day in and day out. Are we always successful? Hardly. We have challenges every single day. But that doesn't give us an excuse not to make the effort. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you. We thank you for the truth of your word and the encouragement that it gives, that we are to be active in our lives with you, that you might in us and through us do great and wonderful things. Father, remind us that we have an obligation. We have a purpose in being here to grow more Christ-like, to grow more into his image and less like the world. And Father, we don't do it to become religious people. We do it to become relational people. That relationship with your Son that changes us forever has already changed us for eternity. Lord, we thank you, and may we be encouraged as we go from this place, and may we do those things that you have encouraged us and called us to do. And may we do them all to your glory, to your honor, and to your praise. It's in your Son's name we pray. Amen.
Every soul we long to reach, every heart we hope to teach, everywhere we share his peace, is only by his grace. Every loving word we say, every tear we wipe away, every sorrow turned to praise is only by his grace. Grace alone, which God supplies, strength alone he will provide. Christ in us, our cornerstone, we will go forth in grace alone,
grace alone.
Grace alone, which God supplies, strength unknown, he will provide. Christ in us, our cornerstone, we will go forth in grace alone. We will go forth in grace alone.
Father, help us go forward in grace alone, that we might receive all the glory. And all God's people said, amen. God bless you. Thank you for coming. Thank you for spending this time with us. And just a reminder that we're a church, a non-denominational Christian church on Davison Road near Center Road, right next to McDonald's. And if you've enjoyed this service, if you enjoyed this message, please come and spend a Sunday morning or Sunday evening with us, and we'd love to see you in person. You can read more about us at www.grace247.org. God bless.